Praise God. Okay, let's get our, I brought another Bible along today. Let's get our Bibles out. We're going to start a new series today, and it's about controlling your soul. Who controls your soul is the title of the message. Open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Who controls your soul? Somebody say, well, God controls my soul. Well, let's just stop and analyze for one moment. What is your soul? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the word is very plain that you are a tripartite or three-part being. Three parts to you. You said, I knew I was complex. There's got to be at least three parts to me. Yeah, that's true. But these are general overall of you. I mean, we're not talking about your arms, your legs, your fingers, your toes, not that. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. What does that mean? Totally. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly or totally. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I look at that verse, it says the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Don't let the word sanctify throw you, okay? Sanctified. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, sanctified is not another word for holy. Sanctify or sanctified, when it talks about it right here, means to separate you unto the Lord, to be separated unto God. So are you separated unto him today? Well, when you got saved, you certainly became separated, right? In your spirit, man, right? When you're born again, a man, whoever's in Christ, is a new creation. All things pass, old things pass away, all things become new. In the Greek, it literally reads that you become somebody that never existed before. A brand new creation, brand spanking new creation in Christ. Yes, you are sanctified. Yes, you are set apart. Yes, you are set apart in the spiritual realm. You are a spirit, though. You have a soul, which the Bible is real plain about, is your mind, will, and emotions. Now, Marvin, we talked about this last week, but in Hebrew, nefesh means, can mean, life. The very life in you. In the New Testament, psuche is the Greek word, and it's like the seat of intellect, the seat of the emotions, the mind, the will. That's what the soul is. And you live in a body. Okay, everybody understands that they live in a body, right? You are a spirit. That's the real you. That's the part of you, actually, that goes on to be with the Lord one day when you know Christ. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. The Greek word for body, just in case you're interested, is soma, S-O-M-A. Well, as I look at this verse, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. What does that indicate? That indicates that a person can be partially sanctified, right? Partially set apart. In fact, I mentioned it earlier. That just rose up in me. It wasn't like I was trying to preach a sermon ahead of time. But the fact is that we can be partially sanctified before the Lord. In the spirit, you are a brand new creation. The spiritual you is reborn. You are this new creation that never existed before. You're clean before God. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Those are all spiritual truths. But in the natural, there's parts of you that need to be sanctified that maybe you haven't taken the steps toward doing that. And one of the areas is your soul. It's your mind. To set it apart unto the Lord. Hey, I'll tell you what, this would be a great illustrator if I took an iPad and strapped it to my head and ran a little movie in front of you that indicated those are the thoughts I'm having. If everybody could see your thoughts right now, Man, he's ugly. Woo, look at that, you know. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts at any given moment? Be careful, they could break into words. I'm serious. I don't want her to fall. They could break into words at any time. You hear me? What are you thinking? Y'all there? What are you thinking this morning? Where are your thoughts? Are they sanctified? Are they set apart? What about your body? Oh, my body. My body is my body. My body. I mean, I take care of my body. Well, you're supposed to take care of your body. But does your body have a higher place of priority than your spirit? Do you give more time to your body to exercise, to other things that are, you know, pertinent in your life today? You can spend 2 hours at the gym and 5 minutes in the Word of God. Something's wrong. Something's out of balance. Oh, I'm saved, sanctified. You're set apart. It's good that you exercise, but the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Didn't say it was unprofitable, but it profits little. Amen? You're like, man, we're going to go and eat at the buffet after this. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Sanctify, this is a word, it's a Greek word, hagiadzo. And, you know, it's not important if you know how to pronounce the Greek word or anything, but simply it means to separate from the profane, from profane things, and dedicate yourself to God. Amen? Again, most Christians are partially separated unto the Lord. Consequently, if you are not sanctified, somebody said, well, I hate a message on sanctification because it means I need to do something. Well, guess what? The devil wants to keep you from doing the things that you need to do. Do you hear me? Partially sanctified, partially set aside to the things of God. That won't work. That will not work. You have to be wholly sanctified. Now, somebody said, well, holy, you mean be holy? No, totally set aside. In every area, you need to work on. This is the big thing right here. Because your brain is like a computer. And your brain, you know, you gather things through the eye gate. You hear things through your ears. You smell, you taste, you touch. All through those five physical senses. And those are things that you and I need to be careful that we don't let our lives become ruled and governed by the senses. Those are the temporal things, the temporary things, the things that are subject to change in our lives. Amen? All right. Praise God. Read verse 23 again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be preserved blameless. Blameless, meaning guiltless. Guiltless. Here is the issue today. Whoever is controlling your soul will determine your destiny. Whoever's controlling your soul will determine your destiny. What's your destiny today? I don't know, Pastor Dan. I'm not really sure about my destiny. Well, if the Lord is in control, if the Spirit of God is controlling your soul, if the Spirit of God is in control in this area and your mind is being renewed with the Word of God, then you have a wonderful destiny in store for you. I'm not even talking about heaven. I'm talking about the plans God has for your life and you hearing his voice and doing what he tells you to do. That's a key to success in this life as a believer. Whatever he says to do. Remember at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, John 2? What did Mary tell the people at the wedding? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Why is that? That is such a simple command. Whatever he tells us to do, we need to do it. If we do what he says to do, will it succeed? If you do what he tells you to do, you get your own idea about something. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today here, about controlling your soul. You get your own idea about how to go about your life and what you need to do and who you ought to marry and what job you ought to take or here, there, or whatever it may be. And you can get yourself in a bad way in a hurry if you're not hearing from God. Amen? Well, amen. Praise God. So if there's an undercurrent of guilt in a person's life, their mind is not being renewed with the Word of God, and they are holding back in some areas these little secret sins that people like to hang on to, then there will always be that undercurrent of guilt in your life. We're supposed to be holy or totally separated. That, look at here, holy, very God of peace, verse 23 again, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, the pneuma, that's you, the spirit man, the soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and the body, be preserved blameless, that's right now, not just the spirit, and the soul is thinking about all sorts of crazy, ungodly stuff, and the body just rules your life most of the time. Oh, no, you got one out of the three sanctified, set apart. And that's where a lot of Christians are at. They're like, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I know it. Why do I have to be so stinking disciplined? You know, because that's what a disciple is. A disciplined one. Why do I have to be so disciplined? The devil likes to set people up through laziness. Through ho-hum, it's not that important. Reading my Bible is not that important. Going to church, not that important. You know, doing these things, it's just not that important. You know, that's good for the preacher. That's good for those that are a little bit over the top and they're, you know, they're a little nutso. Yeah, woo-hoo. Yeah, that's me. Amen. Nutso. But no, I'll get into heaven anyway. Well, you know, I'm not going to argue with a person that says, you know, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe that he was God in the flesh. He's raised up from the dead. He's alive forevermore. I believe on him. I've received him. I'm cleansed. Amen, you are. And you're sanctified, spiritually speaking. Yes, but what about this part of you? The part that has to go with you when you go into Walmart and deal with people, or you go over here and deal with, you know, and the thoughts that barrage your mind every day. How are you dealing with that? What are you doing with that stuff? This is really where our Christianity, where the rubber meets the road about our daily lives in Christ. You don't act one way here and another way out there. You don't act like a godly Christian man or woman. You get out there and you know, want to do the push-tush, what's it called? The push-tush, yeah, well, whatever, but. See, I don't know what that is.
I push my tush.
Oh, that's just, no, don't be pushing anybody's tush. Amen. Boot scooting, brother. Whatever. I can play that stuff, you know. I mean, I can. Don't think for one second, because I stand up here and I preach about this to you, not about that, but I mean about... being sanctified in every area of your life, that, oh, Pastor Dan automatically has it. He's got it knocked, man. He's doing it. I am a doer of the word in my life. I will not tell you that I am not anointed to teach the word. I am anointed to teach the word. The Lord has anointed me, placed me in the position of a pastor, and he gets the glory for that. However, I am not anointed to live the word. I'm anointed to teach it. I'm not anointed to live it. Nobody is. Let me explain that. I don't get up in the morning and you know, the Bible comes floating across the room to me. Turn me to, you know, Gospel of John, Lord, and he does this for me. No, it's not. I have to go and get it, pick it up, read it, fight through if you wake up with a pain because you did something the day before that you're stiff or what have you. And all that stuff, deal with the pressures that come at your mind about this, that, and the other, and this thing happening, and that person's got this going on in their life, and you need to help that one, and blah, blah, blah. I have to fight through all that stuff. I'm not anointed to live it. Neither are you. We live it by choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, what did it say? I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, do what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm not going to tell you I'm not anointed to teach it, because I have been anointed to teach it, but you function in that anointing, and people mistake that as, oh, well, he's anointed to live it too. No, I have to live it by choice, just like you do. And I can choose to do right, and I can choose to do wrong. I can choose to ignore the Word of God. I can choose to not pray. I can choose to watch stuff on TV or go on the internet and watch stuff I shouldn't look at. I can choose any of that stuff. But I have made it a practice to choose the right thing. When I first got saved up in Wisconsin, you know, I mean, I was 18 years old. And up there, everybody drinks. Well, that's just the way it is. If you don't drink, you're not cool. Boy, is that stupid or what? But you think there's a bunch of drinking going on down here, you've never been to Milwaukee. It's crazy up there. The town I lived in had, what did I tell you, is a town of 5,000 people at the time I lived there growing up. And they had like 30 bars in the immediate vicinity of the town. Literally, you can just see the signs all the way down, you know. Crazy. And people do that. When I received Christ, I was delivered out of that, but I still had to choose not to go back there. I had somebody knock on the door. Hey, Dan, we're going down to the bar. We're going out to the lake. We've got a quarter barrel, you know. Let's go. And I remember the day I was standing at the door, a guy I knew from school. I had just graduated high school. You know, you turn 18, that's a big deal. Now you're a man, bless God, you know. You can go drink and be stupid. And I remember them standing at the door. I'm looking through the screen. And he said, we're going out to the lake. We got a quarter barrel. Come on, let's go. You want to go get nuts? And I'm like, right there, I had a chance to either say, yeah, let me, just give me a minute. I'll get my stuff and go. I said, no, I have been born again, and I don't want to do that stuff anymore. Well, he gave me the F this, you're this, that. You know how people talk. People in the world talk. You're an F and loser. And I said, no, I'm actually a winner. And they drove off, and I heard them say something when they got in the car, and they drove off. And right there, I mean, it ticked me off, first off. But then I thought, no. One of the guys that was involved in that whole scene, I told you about this before, but I'm not sure to this day if he was in that car, but I knew him, and he was in the bars when I was in the bars at the same time. He got drunk one night, drove home, and killed a woman. Head on in a wreck, horrible thing. Mother of two, he was so drunk he couldn't see straight. And I'll tell you something. I was just so, when I heard, of course, that was a shock, and I hated to hear that. But I was so grateful that I had walked away from that loser life. Can I hear an amen? Now come on. I'm, you know, anything that people take in to try to help them with their life, when it, you know, some kind of chemical, drug, alcohol, whatever it may be. Hey, you need to be careful that you are not using coffee that way, or your food becomes something that you, I was going to say, can't live without. Well, you actually can't live without food. But, you know, you need to just keep everything and the priority of what it is in your life in balance with what the Word has to say. So, In this sanctifying, being sanctified before the Lord, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to consider. One of the main areas is what you're thinking on, Okay. So what are you thinking on today? 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, you might just mark it down, says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Well, if you're walking around with a guilty conscience all the time and you're not taking steps to renew your mind, you're not taking steps to separate yourself unto the Lord and give him that thought life of yours. Say, "Father, I need help with my thoughts, man. I've been letting thoughts just run rampant." And I'll tell you, if you're doing that, and those thoughts are not geared in the Word of God, the world will oblige you big time. You know, the devil will make sure you're seeing stuff that tends to the way you want to go in the flesh. And if you're not careful, you'll end up getting sucked back into that kind of a lifestyle. Need to put first things first. Get into the Word. Start your day with the Word. Do that. Now, let's go over to 1 John chapter 2. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2 says basically what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 28. It reads this way: "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Abide in him. Abide in him. Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that as believers, this is something you're going to do on a consistent basis. This isn't a one-time thing. That's the problem people have. They hear a little Bible on Sunday, and that's it for the week. Are you kidding? This needs to be a daily thing. We're getting into the Word. Daily, daily. But look at this. This also tells me that there will be some who will be ashamed. Do you see that in verse 28? "Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." What does that mean? There will be some that will be ashamed when the Lord comes back for his church. If the catching away of the saints happens in our lifetime and we're caught out of here before all that hell breaks loose in the earth, you know, and I don't know that the catching away of the church will happen in our lifetime. I can't tell you that. People are walking around saying, "Yes, it's imminent." They were saying that back in the 40s. You know, I mean, we don't know when he's coming back. We need to be ready. Doesn't matter when he comes back. We need to be ready. Amen. And that's part of this whole process of being sanctified, set apart unto him. Are you looking for his coming? Are you taking the command to be an ambassador seriously? I mean, are you doing what you should be doing, sharing the gospel with people, walking in love, helping folks? You know, praying for people, spending time in the Word, renewing your mind in the Word of God, grabbing a hold of the covenant rights that are yours in and through the shed blood of Christ. What are you doing? But this, when I look at this, it's like, okay, now, wait a minute. There will be those. I mean, he's saying that we not be ashamed, but that tells me there will be some people who will be ashamed. What about that? It's the believers. This is actually referring to the judgment seat of Christ, because that's what happens after you die and go before the Lord. You will go before the judgment seat of Christ. When somebody says to you, "Hey, I'll see you at the great white throne judgment." You ever hear somebody say that? Like, "Hey, I got to go now. I'll see you at the great white throne judgment." Not me, you won't. Will you be there? If you're there, it means you're a sinner. That's not for believers. The believer's judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where the meeting out of rewards will happen. Well, there will be those that will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and feel shame. And why would that be? Because they wasted their lives here with frivolous things, did not do what verse 28 is saying, what 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 is saying. Sanctify themselves wholly, holding back little areas of sin in our lives. Why? The Bible says the wage of sin is death, guys. So why would we want to hold on to some sinful activity, sinful things, sinful thought patterns For what? No, I think we need to get after it here and now. We have an opportunity now to start putting the word in, to start dealing with this on a more serious level and quit holding back and saying, well, that's my little secret sin. You think God doesn't know? You think he doesn't know what you're doing? You know, the Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. Well, people think they get away with stuff because the preacher doesn't know about it or a family member doesn't know about it. God knows about it. He sees you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. What's he doing? He's looking for somebody to bless. He's looking for those that are holy or totally separated unto him. Those are the ones that have powerful things happening in their lives. Amen. But what about your life? Your life is a vapor. Matthew 25 addresses it in the parable of the talents. You remember that? The master gave 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent out and said, I'll be coming back. Deal with these. What's that saying? They were supposed to do with what they were given and multiply it or use it for the good of the kingdom. One day you and I will stand before the Lord and you were given this. Did you use it for the kingdom? Or did you squander it upon yourself and for other reasons? And talent doesn't mean, playing the guitar. A talent was a measure of money. And it's really not the amount. It's what you do with what you have that matters. I mean, somebody say, well, the guy who has all the money, he's the one that's, the Lord favors him. Not necessarily. You realize that there are people in this earth that are actually satanic reservoirs for money? You realize that? The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he's stealing Christians' money from them. And he hoards it up with people that don't love God and then tries to exalt them and make the Christian feel worthless because that guy has $100 million or he's worth $1 billion or whatever, but he's a devil and he's not living for the Lord and he rejects Christ. Don't envy that stuff. You trust the Lord, he'll meet your needs in abundance. He will take care of you. But part of the problem why it hasn't happened like it can or should is simply because we've held back certain things. And if I really give myself fully to the Lord, that means I got to give up that habit, and I like that habit. Mm-hmm. You can say amen or you can say oh me, but fact remains. So the people that will stand before him and feel this shame are those that didn't get the big picture. They bought into this life as all there is. No, it's not. No, it's not. I have stood and buried a lot of friends throughout the years. And I realize, the first funeral I did was my own dad's. And I remember thinking, I'll see you again, Dad. I miss him. It's been 1988. He died right before the church started and all that. But it's like, yeah, I'll see you again. And the Bible says, whereas in the book of James, that this life is but a vapor. You know what that means? In Greek, it means a mist. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like a little pump spray in the air. You see it for a second, and it is gone. And on the timeline of eternity, your life is like that. And people think, this is all there is? No, excuse me. There's forever going on. And what will the rewards be that are, and the crowns placed on your head, and the rewards that the Lord has for you? Will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will he say, you know what? You had opportunity after opportunity and you turned it down. Yes, you're coming in. You live in heaven forever, but the rewards aren't going to be there. That's not going to happen. All right. But you and I, we can walk in that. We can be those men and women that actually one day have a reward coming for what we do. I think there are a lot of preachers that think they're going to walk in there and they'll, man, I'll have some crowns, boy. And there's that woman that was praying for the church and praying for the services and standing in the gap, and she gets a whole lot more crowns, and you end up mowing her lawn. Well, Will there be mowing? And you know, I just bought me a new mower this last year, and I'm like, I like getting on that thing. Man, yeah. And I finally don't ever get any flats. Mine has those tweels on it. Have you ever seen that? You know, well, you can go next door and look, but they've got those wheels. They don't go flat, man. They're like plastic wheels, but they look cool. You can look right through. Anyway, why am I telling you about my mom? I like it. I put the earbuds in, pop some teaching on, put my gun muffs over the top, and it's quiet. Yeah, anyway. So, what about this? Well, when I get to heaven, you know, I mean, I'm going to have there'll be these awards. Well, 1 Corinthians 3, if you're curious about it, 1 Corinthians 3 is that portion of the Word of God that deals with the rewards that'll come. You'll be rewarded for the works of gold, silver, and precious stones. But then there may be some works in your life that are wood, hay, and stubble. And those works will be burned up, but you'll be saved. That's what this is pointing at, that they'll not be ashamed. You and I can stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he looks through everything and saying, you know, you did this, you did that, you did that. Hey, if I'm in the ministry to make a name for me, everything I've done in the ministry is for naught. This is not about becoming a popular person. This is not about becoming a celebrity of sorts. This is not about that. This is not about the money. It's not about any of that. It is about functioning and obeying and doing what the Lord has called you to do. And if you do it with the right motive, God will absolutely reward that. So whatever you do, do it with the right heart. Amen? So you and I need to be sanctified holy. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to pull up this Amplified. I'm not going to preach that long today. I was teasing about 3 hours. You know that. Yeah, Eleanor, you love it when I go real long. No, I don't. I know you don't. We'll just let everyone else go, and you have to stay. All right. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 7. It reads this way in the King James, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, we want to be those that are blameless. Spiritually, yes, you are a new creation in Christ if you receive Jesus. What about your mind? Are you sanctified wholly, totally before the Lord? What about the mind? What about the body? I'll tell you, the body has a voice. You know that? What's the voice of the body? Right? You ever get slapped on the top of the hand? That hurts if you get slapped hard enough. All those veins and blood vessels. You ever break a blood vessel? Hurts. What's the voice of the body? Pain. No, feeling. Feeling. The voice of the body is feeling. What's the voice of the mind? The voice of the mind is reason. Well, you know, the Lord told me to do this, but I'm not sure that'll work. You reason. If God told you to do something, I was in Guatemala, and the Lord told me to lay my hands on the bellies of these children. That you've seen the pictures of children that have worms. Bloated bellies. Put my hand on the belly, and I mean, there were, you know, 1,000, 1,500 people in that tent that night. Power of God was moving. A deaf and dumb boy had just been healed. A crippled man had been healed. I saw it. I put my hand on that first little child's belly, and it was like a little bowling ball right here, you know? And that belly went flat under my hand. Praise God. I got goosebumps just talking about it now. And that was in 1985. And the interpreter went, whoa! I was like, you see that? He's like, yeah, I'll do it again. I said, I didn't do it. I can't heal anything. And we prayed for 8 children whose bellies just went flat. It was a wonderful miracle. Bunch of people got saved that night. You know, the message I taught was something like I would teach to fifth graders. Very simple. Very simple.
But we in our sophistication in the States, we have to have this, that, and the other, and no result.
You know. I mean, I like digging into the Word just like everybody else. But that's not always the key to seeing the supernatural. I've seen a lot of miracles. I've seen God do a lot of miracles. I never take any of those for granted. And here's the funny thing about all that. You try to explain, how did that happen? I don't know. And that's the good thing. Had I known, I had it all figured out, it wouldn't have happened. That's where faith comes into play here. And the supernatural, the power of God doing what the power of God can and will do, he just is looking for yielded people. Amen. Yielded people. Man, there was a meeting I did in a church up in Wisconsin years ago, and the Lord said, call up this person. And they were hooked on cigarettes. And they wanted to get free. They said, I really need to get free. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, your nose was not designed to be a chimney. If it was, it would have been pointed that way, you know. Anyway. You can go to heaven and smoke all your life.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Pastor Dan.
Hey, the bottom line is, that's not what stops you from going to heaven. Now, I don't advise it because it'll kill your body. You know, same way with drinking and all that other stuff. But the fact is, she came up, laid hands on her. I mean, I was single at the time. I remember this. It was before I ever had met Ann. And we prayed. And she wasn't slain in the spirit. Nothing happened. There were a few people got healed there that night, and that was pretty cool. So we came back, I don't know, a year later, 8 months later, whatever it was, she comes running up to me. I haven't smoked since that night. She said, I got totally set free. I have no desire to smoke. I said, well, praise God. God gets the glory, not Dan. And she said, I want you to pray for my husband. And she turns like this, and I see this guy is going out the door. She said, oh, there he goes, that rat. He loves to smoke, and he doesn't want you getting anywhere near him. Well, hey, you know what? Smoke away. I hope he got free, you know, because if he didn't, whatever. Let me read this to you in the Amplified. That's why I brought the Amplified with me today. In chapter 1, verse 7, in the Amplified it reads, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. Now, there's a parenthesis here that kind of explains that. I'm going to jump past that for the moment. We'll come back to it. Let me read it again. That you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, while you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being made visible to all. And he will establish you to the end, keep you steadfast, give you strength, and guarantee your vindication. That is, be your warrant against all accusation or indictment so that you will be guiltless. That's it, blameless. That's the same word. Guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be there, but we're going, how do I get there? What do I have to do to be that way? You make it sound like it's something we can do, but man, I know me, and I know my thoughts, and I know what I let in this, my thought life. This is parenthetical in this particular verse. There is that parenthesis, and let me read that to you. But the coming behind, falling behind or lacking, we're not supposed to fall behind or lack in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. I believe that it is Dake's Bible, the commentary says, that's talking about the manifestations, the phanerosis, the gifts of the Spirit, if you will. you know, special miracles, special faith, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Those things are all listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, he's saying that you don't come behind in any of those things, but here's what this reads right here in the parentheses. Again, let me back you up one more time. That you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, the reception of which, in other words, you receiving what you need to not fall behind in any way, shape, or form, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your psuche, your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, by the Holy Spirit. Who's controlling your soul today? Is the Holy Spirit controlling your soul? Are you giving yourself totally to Him in your thought life? Or do you hold back and leave room to think like the world thinks? You need to be very careful what you allow through the eyes, what you listen to. You need to be careful who you listen to. Amen. Well, just because he's on TV or, you know, she's preaching on TV. Listen. Listen to what they're saying. There's some preachers will talk you into that every sickness and disease that comes along, you know, you ought to just not resist it because God's trying to teach you something through that. God is not the author of sickness and disease. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Ask Dr. Jim Glover years ago. He was given months to live. Remember that, Eva? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all weren't in this church. You remember? 3 months to live. Get your house in order, get your ducks in order is what they told him. His wife called. I was down at the, what was the name of that? Nazarene Church building where we rented before we built this. Down on South Lowry. Down there, get a phone call. His wife is crying. And she's like, we got this horrible report. Man, something rose up in me that day. Just ticked me off. I said, I'm coming. I'm coming over there. We're going to lay hands on him. We're going to speak the word. Went over there. Did that. Spoke the word. Rebuked. I was praying in the spirit, just the Lord gave me, there was just a special anointing. I don't know. Because again, I can't heal anything. He went back to the doctor. And they were going to do a procedure to try to remove some of it and lengthen his life. They got in there and they go, I don't know what's happened. But that cancer was encapsulated. It wasn't that way the day before, but it's encapsulated, and they were able to cut it out and remove it, and the man is alive, and that was, what, 16, 15, 20 years ago. I don't know what it was. And they gave him up to die. Now, don't talk to me about, well, you just never know what God's going to. I tell you, you believe, you do too know what he's going to do. Amen. Yeah, well, you listen to others, they'll say, well, you know, sometimes the Lord just has a purpose in putting that on you somehow. That'll kill you, man. The Holy Spirit has to control our soul, okay? Now, you and I, and I'm not going to get through this today. I've got more than I can get done. You're going, praise God. Just for that? No, I'm teasing. But there's a process of you and I in our minds making decisions. And why is the mind so important? Why is the mind so important? Why is the soul so important? Because that's where your decision maker, if you will, is located. It's called your will. And we make decisions based on information that's given to us, right? But remember, there are two realms or two sources of input into your life. The world around you, the temporal. Temporal is a Greek word. Actually, that means subject to change. And then the spiritual side of things. Now, so where are you getting all your information from? When they tell you, when they told him, you've got 3 months to live, what did he do? Did he buy into it? His wife surely didn't. It made me mad that report came. So either you can buy into the natural report, or you can say, no, wait a minute. There's another source of information that goes above the natural. Here's what the doctors are saying. Here's what the Word of God says. Whose report are you going to believe? I think we ought to yield to the side of believing God. Amen? Amen? Does that mean you don't go to a doctor? No, that's stupid. Luke was a doctor. Penned the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician. God is not against doctors. It's okay to take medicine if you take it in the name of Jesus. You know, not everybody can believe without medicine. I had hernia surgery when I tore my, what do you tear? Whatever I tore. It hurt, I can tell you that. And I went for probably 3 years, and it would get better, and it was better. And then I began a weight regimen, and that was stupid. And I ripped it all away. And I ended up having the surgery. Well, I could try to believe God, and I was. Like I say, it would get better. But I ended up going to a doctor, having a very light surgery, outpatient. And that's been how many years ago now? Anybody in here ever have surgery? Hey, doctors are your friend. Their bills are your enemy, but the doctors are your friend. Amen. So, but you make decisions daily which way you're going to go. Who's controlling your soul? Which way are you going to go? Listen, I'm going to tie this up right here. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Quickly, because we just said there are two sources of information, and you will make decisions based on the information that you have. Some people make decisions based on emotion, and that is a big mistake. Now, of the two sexes, male and female, females tend to the emotional side. Can we all agree on that? Depends. I know there's some that are more analytical than others, but as a whole, my wife is more emotional. She can cry easier than I can. Now, I can cry. I'm not too big to admit it. Any man that says, I can't cry, you'll see something that'll bring a tear to your eye. When my son was born, I held him in my arm right here. You know, now he's up there playing the guitar, and he's like, couldn't hold him. And I remember him looking at my, man, I just, oh. You know, that'll get to you, man. But it's like, you know, I mean, the old saying, it'll bring a tear to a glass eye. It's true. Emotions are fine, but emotions are not good decision makers. Women are more emotional. Men are more analytical. We analyze stuff. Women want to talk about it. Women are fine print. I'm not coming down on that. I think it's great. Men are headlines. You ask a man, how was your day? All right. It was good. You ask your wife, how was your day? Oh. and it starts. It's okay. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just the way she's wired. It's the way a lot of women are wired. And that's good. God made us that way. Don't come down on that. We need that. But you'll get into trouble if you make decisions out of emotion. There's a process to making decisions that come up in life. Okay, you're at 1 Peter chapter 2. You get a bad report. You know, it says report came in. It's not good. Well, that source of information came from the doctor. There's some natural things you can do. You need to do everything in the natural that you can do. But here's the report of the Lord. And there's some spiritual truth that has been established a long time ago that either you're going to adhere to and place your faith in that, or you're going to buy into the report and go that way. So there's a decision-making process. You take the information. You say, "How does this have? What does the Word say about this?" You know, the old, "What does the Word say?" We all say, "What would Jesus do?" No, what does the Word say? Jesus would only do what the Word says. If you don't know the word, you're in trouble. So you need to know the word. You need to grow in these things. But here it is. So, all right, they told me this. Okay, and here's what the word says. I'm going to go with the word. I'm going to take my vitamins. I'm going to do the things I need to do. And if I need to have a surgery, I'll have surgery. If that's where your faith is at that time, then do it. But seek the face of God and find out what he wants you to do regarding this situation. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see that? Were healed. Is were past, present, or future? It's past. Were. It's already done. It's a done deal. It happened at the cross. When Jesus died, he took all sickness and disease on his body. You, the Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 13, are redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law included all sickness and disease, included separation from God, included all sorts of stuff. Now, mind you, when you read Deuteronomy 28 and it starts listing out the curse of the law, understand that in the original language, it was not in the causative tense. It was in the permissive tense. There's one translation that brings it out. It's an Knox translation. And it brings out the fact that God allowed this upon a person's life, this sickness and disease, and it's all predicated by their disobedience. The curse of the law was the price that you paid for disobeying God. And because the translators put it in the causative tense, originally it wasn't that way. The translations are not without error. That's why you need to get in and dig. The Knox translation brings it out that God would allow these things to come on you. Well, come on, man. I mean, he said if you'll choose the right thing, all these blessings will happen. But if you disobey, this is the curse that comes with disobedience. The umbrella of God's protection is pulled off when you disobey. The good news for us in the New Testament is that the curse of the law has been dealt with and the price for the penalty of sin has already been paid. And with his stripes, you were healed. He's already paid it. When you accept Jesus, you don't have to accept defeat. You are accepting victory when you accept Jesus. Amen? Amen. But this, you have to know this. And in your decision-making process throughout your day, if your mind's not renewed with the Word of God, you're liable to go the way of feelings. You're liable to go the way of the world. I'll tell you, if you're not spending any time in the Word, you are being massively bombarded with worldly things. There's worldly overload. You know, you get into the Word once in a while. If you're not getting in the Word enough, spending time before God, learning what the Word has to say, praying, building up yourself on your most holy faith, Jude 20, go ahead, stand to your feet. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If you're not taking time to renew your mind with the Word and you're thinking along the lines of worldly things? Wow. Man, you're not going to hear God. Is it always easy? No. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it can be as difficult to discern and decipher the voice of the spirit versus the voice of the flesh as it is to separate the bone and the marrow. But the word will do that. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. I tell you what, this series is going to show and prove in your life to be vital. You need to know about renewing your mind. You need to know about the decisions that you make, how you can let the Lord be the ruler in your thoughts, how he can control your soul. Because if he's not controlling your soul, is it the devil that is? I don't want the devil to control my soul. Remember, we're not talking about your spirit. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if all you're putting in is worldly stuff, God's not controlling it. You're being dictated by what you saw on the news and what you're buying into. You need to get into the Word. Or people can control your soul. Have you ever met somebody that just ticked you off? Every time you get around them, you just want to hit them? That's not very sanctified, is it? So who's controlling your soul? He's got such a smart mouth. Never can say anything. Always. Yeah. Well, Pastor Dan, I mean, aren't we supposed to? Yeah, you're supposed to resist that. That's why. Don't let people control your thoughts either, because they can do that too. Amen. Anyway, Holy Spirit needs to be in control of our souls. Now bow your head with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, this time together. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord God, that we are recognizing and realizing that we need to give ourselves over to you totally and submit our thoughts, our wills, our emotions, even our physical bodies to you. We know our spirit is separated unto you because we are born again, those that have received Christ. But all this other, this is a work in progress. And we thank you today in Jesus' name that we make some strides in this area. And Lord, that our awareness of you never leaving and never forsaking us, that you are as close as the mention of your name, as close as the skin on our body, you're here. You live in us. You dwell in us. So I thank you that that is, man, alive in our thinking. And we will be very cautious as to how we speak to people, what thoughts we allow to go through our head. We don't want to stand before you one day guilty and feeling guilty and shamed and ashamed for things that we allowed in our lives and never dealt with. I thank you today and praise you today. This is a good day. This is a day that we can turn the corner and say, we're going to put the word in. We're going to let the word, let the Lord renew our mind in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for that today, and we thank you for that today. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Y'all agree? Say amen. Amen.